last. I'm not sure if you've heard from your side of the world. There's this thing called AI agents, and everybody's talking about it. I can't go to a briefing with a vendor and not be told the next narrative about AI agents. Welcome to everyone who is joining us for our quarterly update call. I'm Sean Rogers, CEO of BARC US, and joining me is Karsten Bang, CEO of BARC Global. Karsten, great to see you. Glad to have you join.
Thanks, Sean. It's great to see you too, and I'm looking forward to our market update.
I enjoy these quite a bit. And so we're still kind of early in Q1 of 2025, and I thought it would be a great opportunity for us to look back a little on 2024 and maybe highlight a few things that we see happening early on in the new year, if that sounds good to you.
Sounds great.
Fantastic. Let's start with looking back, maybe through the filter of users of technology in our space. And, I saw a few things that were kind of interesting that were happening. ChatGPT turned 2 years old in November of 24. So we're a little bit older, on with that. And, generative AI adoption seems to be driving an awful lot in the market. What's your take on that particular topic?
Yeah, I mean, AI continued to lead the discussions we have with user companies. And I think it's driving a lot of initiatives and things happening in companies. Obviously, now 2 years into the, let's call it the ChatGPT shock, yeah, where this suddenly made it to the agenda of almost, I think, every company. Obviously, we are more mature. So companies are now experimenting or even implementing RAG systems and maybe do fine tuning and simply get more mature. And I think that's good. And obviously the next big thing that everyone started to looking into is now AI agents. But let's discuss that when we look into 2025. No, what in terms of generative AI, I think what also was quite interesting is that every larger vendor published new models, and there's this race going on that is taking enormous amounts of capital. Yeah? So all the large software vendors plus the specialized companies like OpenAI, like XAI, like Anthropic, yeah, are investing enormous sums of money into infrastructure, so data centers, or the software, the development of LLM models. And this whole thing, in a way, in January, suddenly there was this DeepSeek moment, yeah, where suddenly big question marks arose, where we said, hey, do we really have to spend these amounts of money? I think it's still open for debate. Yeah, first of all, how much money they actually spent. This is, I think, pretty unclear. And secondly, whether they were like pity begging, yeah, using what has been built by others to build their own model, which in a way is an explanation why it could be much cheaper, but is then probably not genuine a new model. But anyway, so I think that also was really in the news. It still is. Yeah, if you look at the surprising numbers that in Q1, the big companies announced what they will spend, especially in data centers, then it's still a big investment race going on.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned DeepSeek. It certainly shocked the market for sure, including the U.S. stock market in quite a dramatic way. It seems to have equalized a little bit, but it does kind of touch on some of the underlying strategies that are happening. Do LLMs need to cost that much? Whether or not your data technology is sort of ready for AI. I think that the resurgence or this Gen AI topic, which is so hot and new, has forced a lot of companies to kind of stand back and evaluate where they're at with their data infrastructure, their best practices, whether or not they have the capacity to keep pace with doing these new things, whether it's with a model like DeepSeek or the others that you mentioned. I think AI is a forcing factor for companies to evaluate where they stand And cost is a big component, which is why DeepSeek was so startling to everybody.
Yeah, I agree. That was super interesting. And what I see now is that many companies are really very clear on that they need to invest in their data also. And but at the same time, they want to innovate with AI. So they see that there are use cases where they cannot really implement them properly or scale them properly because they first have to deal with the data quality, for example, or accessibility of data. But at the same time, you don't want to delay all of the AI innovation you could do. So I see companies separating, trying to implement the use cases they can do with what they have. At the same time, investing in their data. And for that, we are laying the foundation for future AI use cases.
Yeah, I think at the end of 24, you and I and collectively all the analysts here at BARC started seeing delivery against the slides. So we had really great slides from our vendors in the market early on in the year, and they've caught up to the hype a bit around Gen AI. And as you said, use cases are starting to pop up and are looking smarter every day. And of course, here in the first quarter of 25, we're seeing even more of that. I think some of the other trends along with the cost optimization ideas was this around hybrid cloud growth. That seems to be something that we're seeing across all areas that BARC covers. The topic of data repatriation has popped up a handful of times at the end of 24 and into Q1 here. And I think that's going to be a hot topic as companies start to look deeper at what their data strategies are going to be for AI. As you all know, the analyst team here at BARC just completed our data for AI research here in Q1, and it'll be published in the third week of March. And we saw some extremely interesting trends around how AI leaders are choosing to be more hybrid than the laggards or the followers for AI, which are spending a little bit more time on premises and moving towards public cloud. So it's interesting trends that are happening around how that's going to occur.
Yeah, cost is a major topic increasingly in 2024. Also, additionally accelerated by the economic problems of our challenges that many countries have, especially over here in Europe. And that increases even the pressure on cost. And this repatriation, I think, is quite an interesting discussion. Yeah? I mean, we do have a big move to the cloud. Yeah, and especially in many European countries, there's still not the same adoption as in North America. So there's still some room to grow, and it's happening. But at the same time, as you mentioned, there are specific use cases or specific platforms where actually companies start to think about running them themselves again, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, and the drivers behind it tend to be cost, privacy, compliance, and regulatory issues. So it makes sense that companies are looking at that, but I think it'll be something that'll be very interesting to follow. And I know that we've got some research on our schedule this year around the repatriation idea. So more to come from BARC on that in 2025. So moving to this year, from last, I'm not sure if you've heard from your side of the world, there's this thing called AI agents. And everybody's talking about it. I can't go to a briefing with a vendor and not be told the next narrative about AI agents. And it seems to be a bit of a race to talk about how many vendors they have, how many agents versus I think some of the more sophisticated ideas about how will you deploy them, how will you manage them, how will you monitor them, and how will you avoid agent chaos in 2025? Are you seeing the same thing from your perspective?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this is, I think, the topic behind it is how do I operationalize AI? How do I start to generate more benefit by automating processes with AI? And typically that's not a single tool or a single application, but agents definitely have this possibility or capability to run a process using several of them. And that's obviously super interesting. And here we step into the actual application of AI in real world business processes. And I think that's really good because after now 2 years of Gen AI, definitely the discussions are starting. Where's the value? We all saw the charts, yeah, with the investments by the tech companies and the actual revenues, but they will definitely increase, but also the investments regular companies made. And then many of them are complaining right now that they don't see the benefits, they don't see the effect. And I think agents is really a good step forward to be able to implement this operationally and then see more benefits from it.
I think agents represent an easier on-ramp to the ROI of AI in general. But I also think everybody who's listening needs to understand that just like language models, we're going to live in a multi-agent environment. Agents will keep track of agents that will keep track of processes and other agents. It's going to require an awful lot of sophistication around it, not to find a company getting themselves into trouble with too much automation. So I'm sure we'll get to talk about that more this year as we continue to meet. There's a scramble, a little bit of panic around the idea of AI governance, probably one of the hottest topics. You and I had a practice conversation about AI in the last couple of days, and we've kind of agreed that AI governance is probably the hottest topic on top of everyone's mind right now.
Yeah, and in maybe in different ways, depending on where you are in the world. So what's happening in Europe is that the European Union AI Act is now in effect. Yeah? So companies start that they're not starting, but they have to do something now. And so it's really now the discussion is now not what is it? Do I have to do it? But now the discussion is really, okay, how do I do it? Yeah, what is the actual the requirements I have to fulfill and so on. While, at least from our point of view, what we see in the US right now is a bit of turning back governance, or let's say decreasing the importance. At least that's our opinion or our observation, which probably means, I don't know, that there's right now a bit of uncertainty for companies also what, for example, level of governance they actually should install. I don't know. Maybe you have some insights on that.
You know, my perspective going back many years, and I'm sure many people that are listening remember all of the innovative things that came about during the big data and Hadoop days. And we saw a lot of, we saw this same disparity between the European companies and the US companies, that US companies have a tendency to over-innovate. They have a tendency to put topics like governance on the back burner to give way to innovation. And that fail fast mentality seems to be much larger here from a regional standpoint versus the rest of the world, and specifically Europe, who tends to be a little more strategic about their approach to it. And yeah, I think we'll see some fairly interesting stories in 2025 of companies that do a little too much with AI and aren't monitoring and managing it in the way, or governing it in a way that they ought to. Let me turn my attention to this idea of the challenges that most companies are seeing. And it tends to be around skill sets, generically speaking. But we see that AI leaders, through our research, are actually saying the cost optimization is their number one challenge. And I think that that's because they're a little further down the road. By the way, BARC does a lot of research and kind of measures the maturity of people and companies in these segments. We see about 20% of the companies that are working with AI today would be classified as a leader. And those, that 20%, is focused on cost optimization, while the 80% is still trying to find the right skill sets. You seeing similar challenges from your perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. So skills, especially in the context of AI, is the number one problem. Then we often get the feedback that resources in general are a problem, meaning that there's often a high strategic importance of data and AI in business strategies, but then the actual funding of initiatives, of people and so on, is there's a gap. Yeah. So it's not really happening. So there's not enough resources available. And then for sure, it's a cost optimization is quite interesting. And overall in AI, it's really the integration topic. So how do I integrate that on a business level, on a technical level, on an organizational level? And because we have to do all three, that poses the real challenge here. Yeah, that creates the real challenge. And that's also something that companies get increasingly aware of.
So the user perspective is kind of fun. Let's move our attention to what the vendors were up to at the end of 2024. And as they move into this year, we've been talking about AI governance a little bit. We saw a lot of automated data and AI governance from the vendor community. Some of it still future tense, but some of it actually doing quite a good job in automation. Once again, Bark Research shows here in the US that data integration and data quality are big targets for this type of automation around data and AI governance. What's your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, and it's an important and good step forward, yeah, to decrease the effort companies have to take on, yeah, implementing scaling data and analytics. There's one particular topic that stood out from my point of view. That's the discussion moved from data mesh to data products being one part of a data mesh, and data mesh meaning a decentralization of data and analytics. And if you want to automate the governance around data products, yeah, you're talking about data contracts that can be, yeah, technically being processed and that can be automated. And that's something that caught the attention of many organizations. And we saw also the emergence of new vendors, yeah, supporting that, yeah, with data product platforms, with data contract platforms or tools and things like that. So there's something happening also on the vendor side to support automated governance, some in a more broad way, some really for access rights and so on, but some are really onto the data products with the data contract automation piece.
Yeah. And that idea around data contracts kind of dovetails quite well into what the users are doing, which is that forcing factor of AI, making them stand back and take a better look at the infrastructure that they're using to do AI. So it's good synergy between the vendors and the users. The vendors also spent a lot of time in the final quarter or two of 2024 getting themselves firmly aligned with the big hyperscalers. Most vendors are finishing that work and are aligned with the big ones. But the complementary part of that is the cloud data platforms, which is great news for Snowflake and Databricks and others. But those two companies tend to be the leaders there. And I would say that that was part of 2024 strategy for just about every vendor we were speaking to is they were making their strategic decisions to how and who they were aligning to with regards to hyperscalers and cloud data platforms.
I agree. And it's really increasingly an ecosystem play what we're seeing here. Yeah, so there are these big platforms, hyperscaler, cloud data platforms. And it's seems like the competitive advantages are not only in the capabilities they have themselves, offer themselves, but it's really also in the ecosystem. So what people can do with an ecosystem around it. And I think that's the reason for this increased attention by more or less all vendors.
Yeah, for sure. AI enablement from the vendors seems to be a hot topic as we exited the year. Helping companies be more strategic in their approach. Our research has shown that most companies trying to get into the AI journey are looking to align themselves with vendors who can help them. I think it's a smart strategy for users and a very smart strategy for vendors to be there for AI enablement, delivering on AI roadmaps themselves. And I think we'll continue to see that as we move into 2025.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also we see increasingly that AI capabilities will be part of any tool we have in the market, either data management, analytics, you name it. So we see increasingly that it's more or less becoming a standard. Yeah. So you have AI supporting the user interaction, like as a more chatbot-like experience, or AI supporting the automated documentation. We see AI in any data management tasks like matching fields or even building schemas, data models. So wherever you look, yeah, AI is supporting this, and is in the end, increasing either, user experience. Yeah. So it's easier to work with a tool, or it's really increasing, automation, and in that way, increasing, efficiency of people using these tools.
As we exited the year, much like the user community, the vendor community was all about agentic AI. It seems like there is a race to see who has more agents than the next vendor. We even saw Salesforce kind of re-nickname their event Agentforce this year. I haven't seen a topic quite this hot in a while. It's early, and I think that the vendors are going to have to mature their message towards how to manage it, how to deploy it, how to reconcile, how to avoid, I used that terminology before, that agent chaos that I see coming at us. But I do think it's very cool technology. So it's a nice balance. But I think the early part of 2025 is going to be a little crazy around agents.
Yeah, and probably the whole year, I would rather forecast here. Because, I mean, this would take time. And as you said, it's early stage, so things will develop. Also, maybe just to add one aspect, that's the governance. Yeah, you already alluded to that with the chaos, but this will evolve. I mean, companies will first have to make their first steps, yeah, build pilots, get a first their ideas around what they could do with it. And then after a while, once they started to implement it, then only the questions around, yeah, how to govern it and so on will actually be important.
All of the, the BI, business intelligence vendors, and even the data management platforms have addressed putting or embedding AI into their platforms. And I think that's a fantastic value add for the end user community. It also jumps the gap for adoption in a lot of ways. It makes using these platforms a little bit more intuitive, a little bit easier, simple functions, but hard to do from a vendor standpoint. But the idea of explainability of what you're looking at on the screen, what the chart is telling you, being able to have an interface to ask the BI platform, hey, what are the three main things affecting the results of this business insight you're giving me? Natural language is coming back online through AI. I mean, it's kind of cool. And I like the value it presents.
Yeah, and it strengthens often the self-service idea, which is a long-term standing idea. And it goes, but it also goes with this bigger trend of decentralization of data and AI. And if we want to be able to do that, yeah, I mean, tools have to become easier with less training, more user adoption. And so I think that plays well into the general trend we are seeing here.
I agree. Let's turn our attention to what the investors were doing at the end of last year. Not surprisingly, I'll carry the theme forward from our discussion. It was AI, and more AI from an investment dollar standpoint. I think if you're a small, innovative AI company looking to get the financial resources you need, 2024, the end of it, was a really great time. It reminded, I think, both of us of the flurry of investments that happened around big data style companies, Hadoop style companies, and the ecosystem that arrived around it. It definitely dominated the landscape from an investor standpoint as we exited the year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, dominated the whole year, and it's obviously basically getting a lot of the capital. Maybe there's some good ideas that don't get funded in the same way as they might have been before, because now a lot of money is flowing into AI. What I also find interesting is that any maybe you don't know that, but we are involved in many of these investment projects as an expert, yeah, helping with the due diligence. And interestingly, part of the due diligence now for any software, but any other company, is really assessing the effect of AI on their business model. Yeah? So that's maybe another effect that even if you're not in the, let's say, the core AI business, then still has a big effect on any investment decision. What we saw in 24 was that Still, less companies were super active in acquiring. I mean, a few years back, we had several vendors that were frequently acquiring, but now it's really inside software that's still in the CPM market, is still very active with 4 acquisitions that year. And Qlik also, they have quite a history now that they are acquiring small technology companies. So they are not after like big companies with a lot of customers, but they're more after small pieces of technology that could add to their portfolio. And the latest one here was Upsolver. Yeah. So again, a company that's more in the data management space in line with Qlik's move towards, more data management offerings. So it's typically AI or data management technology that they are acquiring or they work acquiring in 24. So, and maybe some other interesting acquisitions that year. Cloudera acquiring Octopi. I think we commented on that in our last update, but for us, that was like the starting point or one of the early acquisitions of vendors in the area of cataloging, of data observability. And I think we agreed that we are expecting to see several more of these types of acquisitions because data cataloging has become, or data intelligence, as we call it often, has become a very mature market in a way, but many vendors want the capabilities. And I'm sure some of them will acquire companies here to improve their own offerings around cataloging data intelligence. So I think that's something we will see in 25. What also caught our attention is that Snowflake acquired Datavolo end of the year, 17th of December. Making a move to extend the platform with a data integration tool, which I thought was quite interesting because so far they were really concentrating on the data platform itself and had this big ecosystem of additional solutions. And now they extended into the data integration space, offering that now by themselves, which makes sense. It's more or less like a natural extension. But it's obviously not good news for any or many data integration vendors that were doing good business with Snowflake platforms and Snowflake customers. Now Snowflake has its own offering.
Well, making data easier to work with alongside your analytics, your business intelligence, and so on is something that we're seeing across the industries from an investment standpoint. And it makes good sense. You don't get to do AI without having a firm foundation and capabilities around data, for sure. As we move into 2025, from an investor perspective, I think data and AI governance and automation compliance is going to be a big thing, and automating that process. And there's a bunch of vendors in the space that are trying to help their customers stay out of trouble to not make or fail big in the public eye. And I think that that's a smart investment overall. I think we'll see third-party investors start putting money there. And I suspect we'll see some acquisitions from the bigger platforms that will bring that in or build it on their own. I think it'll be a big investment in 2025.
Yeah, I agree.
I think additionally, agentic AI will be a magnet for money. If you've got a good story there from a software standpoint, solution standpoint, we talked to a lot of service providers as well, and you and I both know they are very busy helping companies understand how agentic AI can be applied to specific use cases that deliver a lot of value for their customers. So I think that'll be a trend that will be very noticeable, especially early on in not Q25, but 2025 overall.
Yeah. As we mentioned, that's a big trend. And for sure, there are now lots of startups coming up and vendors that are a bit more mature in their offerings, but that will be a sought after capability. So I'm also sure we will see several investments or acquisitions happening in that space.
I think the last thing I would touch on for 2025 from an investor standpoint, politics around the world are a bit volatile right now. I think that that will cause investors to show kind of cautionary and high focus on what they're doing. And they're going to keep a close look at U.S. politics and EU politics as well as they make their investments. And I think that that will be a trend here in the first half of the year as we find a path forward through all these different changes we're seeing politically.
Absolutely. I mean, it has some effects on things that we discussed, like data governance, AI governance. There might be some changes. It will have an effect on the economic development of countries, and that also has obviously an effect on spending for companies or revenue for the vendors in the market. So for sure, there's a lot going on. And I agree that companies will take a look at what's happening.
Karsten, thanks for your perspective. I enjoy our quarterly discussion, and this was fun, and I look forward to our next one in Q2 of 2025.
Me too, Sean. Thanks.